this woman was praying to receive Christ. And so what had started out as mourning turned into a celebration and unforeseen opportunity. So God often works that way, doesn't he? If you look at the Gospels, a lot of the miracles that Jesus does are interruptions, right? He's at the wedding and they say, we ran out of wine. We need some more wine. And he's like, my time has not yet come, woman. You know, he talks to his mom like that. It's interesting. You know, I always wonder at that one. He's on his way somewhere else and someone touches his garment. Or they say, you know, come and heal this person. Or the blind Bartimaeus cries out as he's walking. So a lot of the miracles that Jesus did happened through interruptions. It's normal everyday life. And I've seen that in my own life. I don't know if you've seen this, but oftentimes the greatest opportunities comes as I'm trying to get somewhere else. And if I'm not willing to slow down, to open my eyes, to pay attention, I miss it. I miss it. So often it might be the clerk at the store, the waitress in your restaurant, someone you see on the street. I don't know if he's here today, but I remember meeting with Cameron a bit back, and Cameron just has this knack of picking up people as they're walking along the road downtown Mansfield. He stops and say, do you need a ride somewhere? A lot of us would not be that bold. And he has lots of interesting stories, so you should ask Cameron about some of these stories he has of just the random people he ends up picking up and taking places and the stories that result. So, you know, God often works this way through interruptions. And Jesus said, how we treat the least of these is how we treat him. You all know that passage. So often he, Jesus, enters into the situation and engages us at the most inconvenient of times. Well, today we're starting Advent season. We saw that first candle burning up there. And our theme for this year, anybody remember the theme? I keep asking you guys. Grow together in what? Right relationship with God and others, right? So this core value of Grace Fellowship of relationship, we're emphasizing that this year. You know, we talked about grace last year, but we're talking about relationship. How does relationship relate to Advent? So the theme for Advent this year is God with us. You know, God chose through the incarnation to come into relationship with us in a way he never did up to that point, right? And through that, Christ paved the way for a relationship with God. So there's the whole doctrine of salvation is tied into incarnation. And that's one of those things we ponder more this time of year than other times because we're thinking of Jesus being born. But this doctrine of incarnation is a bit mind-blowing. And it's interesting, as I was studying this, and we'll be going through this some more, there was lots of theological controversy about incarnation, if you know your church history. You know, the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Chalcedon, all those, one of the main issues in that, they were trying to deal with heresies about whether Jesus is part God, part man, all man, two persons, one person. There's all sorts of stuff. And all of them have these fancy names that you can look up. But it was an important deal. And people might say, why is that such a big deal? Well, it's one of those bedrocks that if this isn't right, the rest of the house built on it's going to be kind of lopsided. We don't want a Leaning Tower of Pisa here. All right, so we got to make sure that is right. So the term Emmanuel, we hear that song, Emmanuel, what does it mean? God with us. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So today we're going to be looking at, if I was to summarize the message, God with us, Emmanuel, changes our plans. God with us changes our plans. And we're going to look through the Christmas story. I'm going to read several of the passages there. We're going to see how Emmanuel, God with us, changes Joseph's plans, how he changes Mary's plans, and ultimately how he changes our plans. So let's first look at Joseph's plans. If you want to turn to Matthew, good old Matthew talks more about Joseph than anyone else. Luke deals more with Mary, so it's interesting. But we have Joseph's side of the story in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And I should have it up behind me, but if you want to turn there, I always recommend a dead tree version of the Bible is a good one. And why do I say that? Because the phone, I know my phone, there's about 15, 20 other apps that can distract me. So I tend to prefer the dead tree version so I don't get distracted. All right, so let's read this. Matthew 1, 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Joseph had plans. He was probably a young man. We don't know his age. It doesn't say. But he was of marrying age. You know, we were just... And that's something my wife loves to watch at Christmas because it kind of has a Christmas theme in it. And all the ladies in it become of marrying age, right? And it's kind of showing all this angst going on of courtship and da-da-da-da-da. So Joseph's at that age. Now, he wasn't in ancient England. This was ancient Israel. But they had a little bit different ways of courtship. They would be betrothed to somebody for a while. And in a sense, it was like being married, but you weren't married yet. You weren't allowed to live together. There was no consummation of that marriage until the marriage. But if the person cheated on the others during that time, ransom all to adultery, right, Mitch? So it was an interesting culture. So we have engagement now, kind of like it, but betrothal was a little bit different. In a sense, you're promised to that person. So he was betrothed to Mary. He was most likely training to be a carpenter. We see that Jesus was a carpenter, most likely Joseph was. So he was probably getting done with his training. He was thinking about maybe opening his own shop. He had plans. Do we have any seniors here, juniors? Yeah. You got big plans? Big plans, right? Do you like it when everyone asks you about your big plans? No. Right? Well, if you have them, right? But you know, I think I care over there. If you have your plans, you have that TV answer you give people, right? The little answer for your plans. Or you might say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. But she knows. Don't worry about that. But so he was from a good family. She was from a good family. It was a great match. Then the news came. She's pregnant. She says the child's from God. That's a new one. What's he going to do? He's a nice guy. He doesn't really want to shame her, but he also wants to do what's right. So he said he was thinking about this, and he was considering divorcing her quietly. And then he had a dream. In a dream, an angel confirmed what he had been hearing. He says, this child is from God. So, oh, okay, maybe this is right. Not only was this child from God, this child would be God and was going to save the world from its sins. So imagine going from considering divorce because of this illegitimate child to suddenly saying, this child whom you're considering putting Mary away about is going to save the world. That's a big shift of plans. Joseph had a choice. His plans had been to start his own shop, have a nice little family, and now he was thrown into something much bigger. You know, changing the world sounds great until you're asked to do it. Changing the world sounds great until your plans are interrupted and dashed to the ground. Changing the world sounds great until part of those plans involves others thinking badly of you and you being whispered about in the streets. Sounds great until it involves great personal sacrifice. So, God with us changes our plans. It changed Joseph's plans quite a bit. And it's interesting here, he accepts it and moves on. And we see, you know, he's even willing to go to Egypt in another dream. But we don't hear after that much about Joseph, right? It's interesting. We know that he must have died sometime before Jesus' public ministry, because he's not in the picture at all. And when Jesus dies on the cross, he gives Mary to John. So there's no one caring for Mary at that point. So we don't know. That'll be one of the... I'm going to talk to Joseph, right? What was that like, raising as his dad? That must have been interesting. So, not only were Joseph's plans interrupted by God, but also Mary's plans are interrupted by God with us. Let's look at Luke. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. We're going to look at this. As I said before, Luke kind of focuses more in on the Mary. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." That's an interesting greeting. "The Lord is with you." And as we see, she says, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary's engaged, betrothed. Okay, I'll use the right word. She was so excited to plan a wedding and to be married to her sweetheart Joseph. Then the angel came to her. It was frightening. What the angel said rocked her world. He said she's going to have a baby with no dad. That's a new thing, right? This is hard to hear. This baby's from God. He said she's highly favored. He said this baby would be called Jesus and he would be God and his kingdom would not end. So she had to accept this strange announcement. And even with accepting this strange announcement, there came the reality that she's in a precarious position. What kind of precarious position do you think she might be in? Well, she is going to be a mother, a single mother, in a society that's not a really good thing. It's a little more accepted these days. In that society, if she was betrothed and she had cheated on Joseph and he does not accept the son, she had the potential to be stoned. That's at the far end. Maybe that would happen. But at the very least, her name is ruined. Her reputation is ruined. Finances may not ever get married. So a lot of things riding on this trusting of the statement that she heard. So God with us was a huge risk for her. And involved her living in trust that God would protect her and deliver her from her family's misunderstandings and from her community's misunderstanding of being favored. So we've seen Joseph and Mary's plans were interrupted by God with us. And something for us to think about. You'll probably hear a lot this story this month. So be thinking about that. Now we're going to come to not only were their plans interrupted, but our plans get interrupted by God with us. And one passage that jumped out to me about this is Revelation 3:20. I was thinking about this as I was saying, okay, Lord, what relates to us in this? And this is when Jesus was talking to the church of Laodicea, and they were lukewarm. And right before this verse, he actually says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent." Okay, so they're kind of getting a little bit of a smackdown from Jesus. But then he says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. It's funny, I remember memorizing this as a young kid, and this is often used in evangelistic presentations. But what he's saying here is not an evangelistic presentation. He's talking to a church. You know, he's saying, I'm kind of on the outside right now, and I want to be on the inside. Because you've been lukewarm with me, because you've forgotten your first love, all these different things, I'm on the outside. I want to be in relationship with you, but you have to invite me in. Jesus is the consummate gentleman. He doesn't force his way into our lives. So God with us involves us being willing to welcome God into our lives. We talked a bit as we've been going through Corinthians about how Paul's saying, you are God's temple. What more God with us could there be? God living inside of you. You are his holy of holies, his temple. So, what's that mean for us? Well, Jesus also said, however you treat the least of these is how you treat me. So, as you and I are going through this week, I want us to be thinking about, how do I treat people? I love what Pam says. That dovetails, you know, like, I don't love you because of your toys or because of your clothes, right? And adults still love, we can have a tendency to love people because of their toys or their clothes or their status or their position or what they can give to us. But are we willing to say, I love you for you, to the beggar on the street, to the least of these, to the unpopular kid, to the awkward person, the one that's not easy to love? Often we're not ready for that knock. It's an inconvenience to us. Yet if you and I will plan for the unexpected, for the inconvenience, we will see God show up in ways we never imagined. We will experience fellowship we never thought possible. A lot of times, you know, with this passage, we think of Jesus coming in, but Jesus often said, I am the least of these. So who is knocking at our door? Jesus is, but who else is that, in a sense, is representing Christ in our lives? Who do we have opportunity this week? And it's going to be different for all of us. And it's just wonderful for me to think, as I look at each of these teens and each of you out here, the circle of influence that each of you have. If we were to like put that like a big map up here of Mansfield and beyond, some from Columbus right now, what would that look like if circles of influence and how they overlap and how many people are covered by just this group of folks? Just, you know, a little less than 100 here today. You'd be astounded. You'd be astounded how many people you all impact. We all impact this week. So, in the same way my wife experienced God showing up when she wasn't quite ready, that doorbell. You may not have them come to your front door. I don't get many doorbells here in Mansfield. My doorbell actually isn't working, so that might be why. But that's one of those to-do projects I got to fix. So if you come over, be sure to knock, or I may not answer. But so knock on the door. Don't ring the bell. We're going the old way here. But the door shall be answered, right? Yeah. In the same way that Laura experienced that, are you ready for the unexpected? Do you plan for it? Do you plan for that? Do you keep a little extra money in your wallet for that? Do you budget a little bit to help someone out? Or are you so right to the wire that there's nothing left over to share or to bless, either time, money, energy, whatever it is? So this Advent season, let's plan for the interruption and expect the interruption. And it's during those times of inconvenience an interruption that God with us will show up. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminder of how inconvenienced you were in coming as a baby, what that must have been like. You stepped beyond all measure to be with us. And you didn't come just as a rich baby. You came as a baby in a little manger, a stable, to a poor family that was already on the outs because of how you came. So, Lord, we want to be open to you being with us and what that means. Help us to be flexible for the interruptions. Give us eyes to see those as you would have us see them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to go to Circle Church here after the benediction, so don't run out quite yet. And the kids, we can take them up to the nursery, to Sunday school, and the sixth grade and up can be in the upper room. There's various circle groups around the church. If you're new, feel free to check those out and migrate between them and get to know folks until you find one that you can settle in, all right? And the purpose of these circle groups is for us to not just look in the mirror, see what we look like, go away unchanged, but to look in the mirror and say, wow, my hair is really that way. Some product on it. You know, no, I'm just saying, but the Word of God shows us the stuff that maybe needs to get addressed. And we can go together and say, hey, pray for me in this, or this is something that really jumped out at me in the message. And we can pray for 1 hour and get to know 1 hour. And that's part of the circle group purpose. Beyond that, it's to build a relationship, to serve, all these other things. But we're going to hit that this morning. So if you're a visitor, join a circle group. We'd love to have you. We don't bite. So let's stand now for a benediction. Here at Grace Fellowship, we just extend our hands just as a receiving of a blessing. That's what a benediction is. Go forth this week anticipating and expecting the interruption of God with us in your life. Plan for it, look for it, and enjoy it. Go in peace.